All right. Praise God. Before we pray, once again, as you see, we're starting another study. And this is one that I'm, if you notice, hopefully you guys have been paying attention. I've been hitting you hard with a lot of the spiritual topics from the end of last year into this year. Because if you don't get spiritual, you're not going to get the lesson. I've noticed a lot of ministers are watering down lessons. We're doing some very basic surface because we're not receiving. People are just not. We're too preoccupied. We're still allowing so many other things to come in. We're mixing it with other philosophies. And because these things exist, it's hindering us. And I'm hoping in this study, you guys recognize the importance of getting true spiritual feeding. And this digestion is what you're going to get and how it works in us spiritually. Theoretically, God willing, this should be done in 2 weeks. And then we go into our resurrection weekend lesson. And then we'll be actually, God willing, doing a lesson on heaven, which is another one of those that if you're not spiritually focused, you'll miss it. Because it's a lot to miss in there, but you got to know what to get and what to miss. So I just want to make sure we understand what we're doing. But of course, let's start off with prayer before we start this study. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, thank you once again for this opportunity to come in and just to go over and to study and to learn your word. Help us, dear God, to do the things we need to in order to apply it, to be a light in the world, to encourage one another in the body, to make sure we're living our lives, dear Lord, recognizing that we know all things work for the good that you have given us, dear Lord. So let us live in love with you and live according to your purpose with working in a way, dear God, that we're allowing you to work in us. As we start, we ask you to allow me to be an instrument used by you, presenting your word in a way that's honorable and reverent, but clear and understandable. We hope to do what we can, dear God, together as a body, knowing that we're not in this alone. So as we start, we hand this over to you for your teaching, for your wisdom, for your guidance. And all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen. Now, as you look at regular digestion, when you get regular food, I think we know if we don't get the right type of food, it affects your life. It'll affect your health. It'll affect your thinking. It'll affect every aspect of everything that you do. You have to eat right. You have to have the right types of vitamins, whatever your food gives to you. Now, once again, you know, our country, we eat for pleasure. Most other countries eat for sustenance. Now, what is the difference? The difference in this is if we don't recognize, we'll eat so much just for what we want to eat, we'll miss out on what food is supposed to do for us. It's supposed to help us to live. It nourishes the body. So with that same thing, we've turned church into a, hey, give me something that I enjoy and not give me what I need. You know, how many times I've been challenged or put in the spot to where I'm asked to give something that people enjoy, but they don't really care for when you're given what the word says. Okay. So you have to recognize what you're getting, because a big part of it falls on me or any speaker, but a huge part falls on you, as you're going to see. So spiritual digestion overall is going to encompass four different things. You're going to see, first of all, you have to make sure the spiritual food is right. Just because you go and you feel inspired and it sounds good, if it's not from God, it's wrong. It's going to hurt you. It may feel good, may seem good. It's going to hurt you. I can't stress this enough, okay? So this is the thing I want to make sure you're getting. Don't go out there and find something and say you enjoy it and stick with it that way. If it's not from God, it's going to hurt you. Then make sure the feeding the spiritual food. So I got to make sure I'm giving you what God says. I got to make sure I'm not getting up here speaking on a rant on what I think and what I feel. You got to hold me accountable to give you what the word says. I speak with a lot of people, and I'm ask my wife and anybody else, I'm hesitant because there's just so many philosophies and people getting together and think tanks, and it's frustrating and scary because they can influence your thinking. They're bringing in some weird topics and some doctrine. Pray for me because there's a conference virtually I'm going to be attending. And in that, they're going to have these same things. You're going to have those ministers that have been in it, and they're going to put in their own thinking. And unfortunately, we fall for it if we're not careful, because it sounds good. So I got to make sure the feeding is the spiritual food. But then you have to receive the spiritual food. Some don't do it because they just don't go to church. Some do it when they go to church, but they don't pay attention because they're either falling asleep or whatever else is going on. Some do receive it in a sense, but that's it. You know, they kind of, I heard it there. And then when I leave out of here, it goes away. You understand that? You have to receive it, even if it brings on questions. I always say questions are good, okay? Because it's allowing you to be able to work with what you have. So you get this spiritual food. Now you're getting an understanding of it. So you have to receive it. It's up to you. And then you're going to see the fourth thing of it all is processing the food correctly. To us, that means applying it. If you don't do that final part, the first three were done for worthless. They were done for no reason. There's nothing done in this. And in a way, we kind of teach that today. As long as you say you're a Christian, then you're a Christian. Well, you do know what Christ said. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he who does the will of my Father. And we fail because we don't do. We can recite, we can say, but are we truly applying what he says, or are we applying our own version to it? So this is what we're going to go over this week and next week, God willing. So first of all, there exists a major spiritual nutrition problem. And hopefully everybody gets this, okay? Small as we are, it's not just in FSG. It's in the entire church body today. It's disturbing. And the way we know this is because you just talk to people and you'll hear some of the things that people are accepting, receiving, and talking about. They're not biblically based. They're usually some other base. And that means the food is wrong somewhere. Now, either they were given the wrong food, they're receiving the wrong food, or now they're just giving, they're giving out what they think they're getting. And it's a disturbing thing. And what that ends up doing is it hinders growth. And what I mean is we're not maturing. Okay? You have a lot of babes or self-proclaiming Christians, but you don't have a lot of mature Christians. How do I know this? Look what he says, 1 Corinthians 3:1-4. He says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Now, what he's showing us first is we will recognize when a Christian is mature and when they're not. It's very clear. And that should not be just for a preacher. It should be for all of us. Remember, he said we will recognize them by their fruit. But you'd be surprised how many Christians will give somebody a pass because they said they were a Christian. Now, there's the danger in that because especially as a teacher, I have to know how to respond to you just like he's saying. He said, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Why? He says, mere infants in Christ. He's like, okay, you're Christians, but you guys are still acting like you just got saved. How does he notice? He goes on to say, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. So what he's showing here first is, okay, the stuff you got in the beginning, which he tells us in 1 Peter, to crave pure spiritual milk, okay? That's what he's telling us, something I have to do. He's saying, I'm still giving you that milk. I find myself going back to the same sermons in order for you to get and understand. And you want to know, well, Pastor, how do we know when we are still immature? He says, indeed, you are still not ready. Watch this, verse 3, you are still worldly. Ah, so you watch our actions and our response to life. How do I deal with everything? Is it worldly or is it spiritual? You get this. He says, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Now, I put a star there because at the bottom, if you ever get a chance and you read Galatians 5:19-21, it gives us the evidence of the spiritual nature, the sinful nature. So if you want to know if you're being spiritual and you go there and those things describe you more than the fruit describes you, then you're still worldly. If you still react with attitude, you still react with emotion, you still deal with things the way the world does, you are still worldly. That means I can't go further. You can't receive further because you're stuck. Right? He said, because for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? He says, are you not acting like mere men? And then look what else he says. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? The thing I love about this last line is he's not saying one pick this minister over here and this picked another minister over there. He's not talking about different doctrines, because of course he's well respected and Apollos is well respected. So it had nothing to do with that. We just like to pick teams. We like to separate. We like to look for what we want to hear and what we like. I like minister so and such. And I always go, okay, why? And you'll hear the reasoning. And it's not because I get the pure, unadulterated word. No, you don't always get that. You'll hear, I like the way you tell stories. I like the way, and all that's great. But we allow our human aspects to move us and not the, I need this word. I have to have this word. Remember, it's not going to be a feeling that happens. It's something you have to choose to do. This craving for the word, you have to do. But when you allow it to be a popularity contest and you allow it to go out with people, and then once again, we get caught up in it, we're going to try to be popular. We're going to go, what do I need to do for you to follow me? And the other one, what do I need to do for you to follow me? And then we change or we start compromising and you don't get fed. Or you're too busy looking for what you want and your itching ears and you don't get fed. It's a dangerous place to be. Now, look what happens when you don't get fed. He lets us know that we are not learning and understanding. And he's not saying we're not learning understanding in this case because it's not given. We're not learning and understanding because we're not receiving. He says in Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain. Watch this. Because you are slow to learn. Now, in today's world, children are slow to learn or we're slow to learn. We'll give it a name. And there are conditions out there which hinders our learning. I have one. It's called dyslexia. And it does. It can hinder. But it was never meant to be my excuse not to learn. What it was meant to be is an understanding of what I have in order for me to work around it so I can still learn. Do y'all get this? We allowed it to be our excuse. Oh, I don't get it like you. Pastor, I'm not a scholar. I'm not a theologian. Blows my mind when I hear Christians say for simple things in the Bible. Well, I'm not a scholar. I don't know the Bible like so and such. All of us have access to know the Bible like all of us. Please understand that. All right. Don't fall into that lie that Satan's put in your minds. He says the slow to learn is a choice. He says in verse 12, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. He goes back and says, you need milk, not solid food. Now stop there for a minute, because remember, we start off with milk. Every Christian must. But you get to a certain age, if you're still only taking in milk, there's a problem. And it's going to stop a major part of your walk. When he says you need milk, not solid food, he's saying, I have to get you back from the beginning again. But watch this. Verse 13, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Now, remember, we're supposed to be the righteousness of God. But if I don't know what it is, how can I be it? There's a lot that think I'm being Christian. If I ask you simply put, and that's going to be our study on Resurrection Weekend, what is a Christian? Are you being a Christian? I bet you out of pride, many will go, yeah. Now, if somebody said, prove it, what would you do? You hear people spouting off worldly good deeds usually. Well, I help people and I'm nice to people and I do this. And you won't hear the spiritual aspects of being a Christian because they're still on milk. They haven't matured. And he said, they're not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. In fact, verse 14 says, but solid food, watch this, is for the mature. So you can't get fed solid food until you become mature. So how it's supposed to work, you become a Christian, you get the spiritual milk. You become mature, then you get the solid food. If you don't really get the spiritual milk, you'll never understand the solid food. And you'll keep going to church and saying, keep giving me milk. And when you get milk, watch what you miss out on. He was like, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use, this is a lifestyle, have trained themselves to distinguish from good and evil. Wait a minute. You mean until I become mature, I really won't know how to deal with good and evil? That's exactly right. If Christians are so confused today because they're still babes, and they're still babes because they're not growing, and they're not growing because of themselves. Do y'all get this? If anything else, we want this to convict us, right? If pride kicks in, people will be angry at hearing this. If spirituality kicks in, you'll go, wait a minute, that's me. All right, what do I need to do? See, the word slow comes from the Greek word nothros, which means lazy, and it even means stupid in there. But it means an act that I chose to do. How many of you heard a sermon, didn't get it, and that's where it ended? I'm not asking questions. I got other stuff to do. I don't get it. I'll wait till the next one. I'm going to pass on. Is that smart or is that stupid? Once again, let's not get insulted. We want to make sure we take in what he's saying of, if you need this, why aren't you receiving this? Why aren't you going after this? See, I have at the bottom, we tend to look at these things as conditions or sicknesses or excuses, while they are really us making wrong choices. Does that make sense? I'm choosing not to grow. I'm choosing not to receive it, so it hinders me from knowing when something is good or evil. 2020 was awakening because there was a lot of times where we had the right way to make the right decisions and Christians didn't do it. And you're like, and I'm talking about very clearly, you look around and the Christian community as a whole did not respond as the word said we should have responded. As a whole, you had bits and pieces, yes, but as a whole, it was like, wow. But he did call it terrible times, you know? So we understand that, but that wasn't because a sickness or something happened to us. It's because we chose. Oh, man, you're going to label me a Christian, but I don't have no intention on acting like a Christian. Do y'all get this? The spiritual growth is something you are responsible for and something you're supposed to hold your teacher responsible for, if that makes sense, or your pastor accountable for, to make sure he's giving it. So now, evidence of poor spiritual digestion. You want to check this. First of all, our understanding or lack thereof of the word of God. If you've been doing this for a long time and you don't get some of the basic things, there's a problem. Now, anybody who's living, don't panic because you can start now. You understand that, but you got to start. So when you see these things, don't go, oh man, that's me. I'm messed up. You go, okay, yeah, that's me. I've been doing this for a long time and I barely know it. There's a problem. Let's fix it. Do you get that? Or the fruit we produce is bad, is good or bad. As many years as we do fruit, you have many who still don't understand fruit. All right? We do the fruit of the Spirit. Are you displaying the fruit of the Spirit? Good question. But if you don't know fruit, that's a problem. If you're not displaying fruit, that's a problem. That's the other thing we look at. And where we are in our spiritual walk. When I say where we are, have we matured? Now, I don't want your answer. The measuring point will be God. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? The measuring point will be God. When I see, I can tell you I'm mature because I know what, like, 5 plus 5 is 10. I'm mature. But that's my level, right? But when I only know what God says who the mature are, that's my measuring point. That's your measuring point. So these are the things we're going to look for in growing and to make sure that we're getting fed and we have what's needed. So what are the benefits? Nutrition of the feeding. What are the nutritions that we're supposed to get out of this feeding? Let's look at it. First of all, the Bible is the book from God that completely supplies us. Everybody say completely. Now, the reason why I say completely is because if you're careful and if you look in your own life, how many of us add something else to it? Now, I know in our regular food, we all like hot sauce, salt, something else to our food, right? We like to add a little flavor. But the danger to sometimes to God's word is we add something that distorts it, that hurts it. I read the Bible and I read this guy's book. I read the Bible and I listened to this documentary. And all that's great, but the problem is if that other book or that documentary or that other thing you're adding to it is in any way outside of it, you are now distorting it. Does that make sense? There was a book a long time ago, because I used to take a lot of supplements. I still do have to in certain cases, which showed us certain things that can knock out supplements. You can take this, but if you eat this, they cancel each other out. So there are years people are taking the same things and
just doing absolutely nothing because they're canceling each other out. You know, that's why in some cases you have to take one now and take one at night or one later in the day. Why? So they don't cancel each other out. So you benefit from them. So in the same way, when we're now listening to the Bible and reading this guy's book because we like him, canceling it out. You just cancel out the word. You'll hear them go, yeah, the Bible says we have to do this, but I heard. Wait, did you hear that in the Bible? No. Seriously? And that's what he's showing in 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. He starts off with all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I'll listen to advice. Hopefully you listen to advice. But the advice must be fully Bible-based. Does everybody get that? It has to be fully Bible-driven. When you start getting advice that is very intellectual or emotional or cultural and not based off of what God is saying, once again, it's going to distort your training. Be very careful that the feeding you're getting, because all of it is built in what we're supposed to be, which is righteousness. And it says in verse 17, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, please understand this. Don't anybody feel like, wow, that can't be me. I just don't have it. I'm not as smart. Understand this. Remember like his word, what he said to Paul? He says, my power is made perfect in weakness. What he's saying is the ones it's going to work best for are the ones that 100% depend on him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't get this because I'm brilliant, well-learned, all this stuff. No, it's just because I fully depend on Christ. Everyone has access to that. All right? So don't ever get in that mode of, well, I'll never understand it. No, you'll not understand it if you keep getting in the way. And this is why I keep stressing the difference between your understanding and understanding. Big difference. Okay? Please get that. So the word is an integral part that I must have, and my feeding must just include that. Do y'all get that? It better be something you can show me in the word. If you can't, I got to push that plate to the side. Well, others are eating it. That's great. But if you can't show me it in the word, I'm not receiving it, is what you have to do, or else you're not going to be thoroughly equipped. Also, when we allow the Bible, when we allow, the Bible will affect every aspect of us and our lives. So now, when we allow, see, I know people like to treat the Bible like they do other books, as some book that was written a long time ago. Well, he's letting you know, no. The Bible is Christ. Y'all know when you want to hear from Christ and you read your Bible, you heard from Christ. I'm sorry, hearing from Christ. You understand? He shows in Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, the word of God is, watch this, living and active. It didn't say lived and was active. No, it's living and active. It's not that the word is outdated. It's that the times are more and more evil, distorted. You got what I'm coming? The times are just getting worse. So the word, what it still says, is how it's always been and will always be. When you start seeing times change, don't call the Bible outdated, call the times distorted. Because he's saying it's living and it's active. It is Christ talking to us. Now watch this. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Why? Because it's going to cut both ways. I love that. It's going to cut me in a punishment when I'm wrong, and it's going to cut me surgically to heal me in order for me to grow. So I need both things. So the word's going to do both things, once again, when allowed. If you don't allow it, it's going to be worthless to you. It penetrates. Now, it penetrates three things. We had this study before. Everybody was paying attention. It penetrates even to dividing soul. So we know what our soul is. That's what you are. You are a soul. So it goes through who you are, if you allow it. And spirit. That's the one that communes with God. If you make sure your spirit is communing with God, not some other spiritual realm, that's why we have to test the spirit. And then it talks about our flesh, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So he went through every part of what we are, and only the Bible touches on every aspect of everything we are. Only the Bible. See, if I go to a worldly counselor, the worldly counselor is limited to my flesh, usually. You get this? I try to tell people, please find a spiritual counselor. Now, what we tend to find is a Christian who happens to still be a worldly counselor. So they'll still give you book counseling, and it can be still kind of dangerous because they're dealing with the mind. Now, I'm not saying not to go. I'm saying you've got to be careful, because the only thing that's going to help you through and through is spiritual. You're not going to like it all the time because it's not going to cater to the flesh. And that's what the word does. The Bible itself will help us through and deal with everything. The reason why we struggle with it is we don't like it. But that's why he made some food not the most desirable. If I were to take, and I thought about this, and invent broccoli made out of ice cream, man, I'd be rich. And there'd be a lot of sick people out there, right? Because they would dive on it going, it looks like broccoli, but it tastes like ice cream. Man, this is great. But what broccoli may do for you, you're going to miss. But it tastes so much better, and I love it. And this now, oh, and it looks like broccoli. And isn't that how we do it? Give me something so I can enjoy it completely and still get the benefits. No such thing. Every time they put that out there, you'll find out later, it's gone. Why? Because it doesn't exist. God is saying, I need you deep in this word, and then I need that word deep in you. That's the only way it's going to work. You choose not to. So this is how the word does. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It cuts through the joints and marrow, so it knows your physical problems. He says in verse 13, nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give an account. That last part of whom we must give an account, I always said, and I always check this, because when people tell me, Keith, why aren't you doing this, or you should do this, my answer goes, because he didn't say, or the word didn't say. My accountability goes to him 100%. Please understand. I'll hear what you have to say, but I have to go in. Where does he say that in the word? Because if you don't say it in the word, I'm not doing it. Because in the end, think of it this way. God's going to ask you about everything you did. And if your answer comes out, well, I thought, I felt, well, I guessed, well, you're in danger. Y'all get this. But if your answer is, oh, because you said. Y'all catch that? Why did you make that decision, Keith? Oh, because you said. Your word said. You know, I'm following with your word. Oh, praise God. Do y'all get this? When we come out with our own human reasoning, you might even get through me. I'm just a man. And I may go, okay, I see where you're coming from. And I may get worn down and go ahead and keep doing it. And I'm still wrong, because when it comes down to it, you still have to answer to God. Do you get this? I told you my grandma, same thing. You understand that? I don't care what anybody said. We can give the whole thing. She'd sit there looking at us with a straight face. And when we were done, she would always end it with, but what did I say? It always came down. I'm asking you this question. What did I say? So why didn't you do what I said? That was it. Then we got punished. All the speeches and whatever and algorithms, we could have put equations up on a chalkboard and whatever. And when we were done, she would go, but what did I say? That's what God's going to say. For those of us who have all of these fine sounding arguments, the word will keep us in line, that we're able to answer them about how I am with my family, how I am in my marriage, how I am with my finances, how I am in my decision making. Keith, why did you do that with your kid? Because your word said. Keith, how come you acted that way at your job? Because your word said. Not, did you see the way they treated me? It seemed to work when I did it this way. None of that will fly. This is why this feeding is so important, to keep me in between the boundaries. Do y'all catch that? It's incredible how this works, because I must give an account, and so must you. Now, the word of God is the only path to true cleansing. You hear about people talking about they're cleansed or pure. The term pure, you hear me telling, when the Bible says impure or pure, it's talking about somebody who's either completely in the Bible or not. When you're impure, it means I have the Bible, but I've added this other stuff to it. Now that's the problem. You get where I'm coming from? So impure is having the Bible but other stuff, or not the Bible at all. So John 15, 3 through 4, watch what he says to his disciples. He says, you are already clean, watch this, because of the word. Not because you went and bathed yourself. Not because you went to church every day. No, because of the word. He said, I have spoken to you. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. So he gives a warning here too. He was like, the thing that keeps you clean is the word. What does that mean? As long as I'm living in the word, that's why he says, remain in me. Because the word is his guidance for us to have that relationship with him. We went over a whole study on having a relationship with Christ, right? And what that showed us is my relationship is how I follow this word. Remember, if you love me, he says, you'll do what I command. So I'm in the word to understand him so I can apply it. That cleanses me. Do y'all get that? So in that cleansing, I have to keep cleansed. That's why he said, remain in me. I can't go and get cleansed and then leave and I'm forever cleansed. It's not how it works. I stay cleansed by staying in him. And he says, so the process is, remember, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That promise sticks. So when we leave, he never leaves us. We're leaving him. So when he says, remain in me, I'm still here. He's saying, I'll remain in you, but you leave. I didn't leave. You left. He was like, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. How do I remain in the vine? By staying in the word. Do y'all get this? There's this nourishment they had for these plants years ago. And I remember when they started adding it to the plants, it seemed like it was making the plants grow better. But it wasn't until like 10 or whatever years later, not only was it causing problems with the plants, it was causing problems with the environment, it was causing problems with the insects, it was like, oh, I guess we got to stop adding this. But at the time, it seemed. And we do the same thing. I was reading the word, and isn't that how we do it? And I think I'm learning so much better. And then years later, you're way over in left field, confused about God. Why would God do this? Think about how many people in 2020, Christians, have you heard said, my faith has been broken because of you, God. It blew my mind how many people I've heard say that. I would go, wait a minute, what? What do you mean? They were crushed, not because of God, it's because their lack of God. We were living with a fake version of God, being fed lack of nutrition. We were crushed when it was time for that vitamin to take part in our lives. It should have been just another year for every Christian. We should have been a light in that year, but it wasn't because we weren't getting nourished. We didn't stay in him. He said, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Keyword being remain. Remain means I'm totally receiving and applying the word and repeating. Receiving and applying the word and repeating. Now, you got many Christians, and be honest, they don't do this. It's not their life. Now, you tell them they're not a Christian, they're ready to fight, right? You can fight all you want. You're still not. Do y'all get this? You can be angry all you want. If you're not receiving and applying, there's a problem. And that's what he's showing us here. Okay? So the word is that cleansing in us that keeps us cleansed, keeps us honest, keeps us focused. That no matter the situation, right, you'll be fine. It's not about the situation. It's about the word in you. And also, retaining the teaching of God is the key to true freedom. A lot of us are still trapped. We're still enslaved. We're still struggling, if you will. We still have strongholds. Why? Why is this stuff in me? Well, he shows us in John 8. 31 through 32, he says to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you watch this, hold to my teaching. What does that mean? Well, first of all, you can go to church and receive it. You can even understand what he's saying. Not lean upon your own understanding, but you understand what he says. But if you don't keep it, how many times have I done a sermon over and you know I did it, but you have no idea what it was over? Well, because it wasn't held. Y'all get this? Or you read it in the Bible. And since you have been applying it, it doesn't become secondhand. So once again, you haven't held to it. So it's not going to do you any good. See, you have to live it. You have to continually apply it for it to work. He says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. He was like, this is one of those evidence to let us know who are the students of God. He says, then you will know the truth. And then the truth will set you free. Keyword, then. So on the one side, I have to hold to his teachings. So why are so many Christians still struggling and can get swayed back and forth and are so confused? Because you didn't do the first part. You're not holding to his teachings. You're trying to make the teachings fit your understanding. You're applying a piece here, but you're not doing this one here. You like to listen to this person here. You got your own traditions you're holding on to, right? Remember, throughout the Gospels, Jesus kept warning, if you do not deny yourself, if you do not give up all this stuff and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So he gave that warning over and over again. And Christians go, amen, and we still don't do it. You'll say stuff like, yeah, our family has always been doing this. Well, I'm doing what my dad has always been doing. Yeah, I'm following what we've always been doing. Well, the way I understand it is, y'all see what I'm doing here? In which I have to include me before I receive God. You're saying, God, you got to convince me before I follow you. He's saying, well, you're in trouble. Because if you notice most of his word, he's not convincing us. He's commanding us. That's what that verse means when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your understanding. What that means is he'll say, Keith, turn left. And Keith will go, okay. What we do is, so God, why am I turning left? I'm sure I've seen others turn right. Keith, turn left. Yeah, yeah, but okay. But this left thing you keep talking about, I don't know about it. So let me think about it some more and then I'll let you know. Seriously? Right? We question God. How do I know we question God? Watch your lives. You know what I mean? What if Abraham said, you know how many years I waited for this kid? And you want me to do what? No, we ain't going up there. You got to tell me how to do that. No, he said, pack it up, y'all. We're going on a three-day trip. And I'm not telling anybody because y'all won't understand. He was ready up to the point to sacrifice his son. Why? Because God said it. He didn't go, it makes no sense. And if y'all are honest, it didn't make sense, did it? The whole part of his story started with this promise he was giving him. And now he got this promise. Of course, he didn't have any kids yet. Isaac didn't have any kids. So he's like, now go kill him. What? But he trusted in God. Why don't we? Why are we waiting until we get it to do it? Because we're malnourished. He lets us know, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. That means I got what you said. I'm doing it. Then you will know the truth. The knowing of the truth will come to you. It's not something you do on your own. I'm going to say that again. The coming of the truth will come to you. As I take in his word and just do it, the truth will come to you because it's going to eliminate you. But the more you try to understand it, you're going to be stuck. And that's where many are right now. They want God to convince them. You understand? Instead of going my own understanding, I'm putting in a bucket somewhere and pushing it away because it's getting in the way. Y'all get this? It's a receiving what he says. Then you will know the truth. And then the truth, look what it does, will set you free. If you ever remember the parable that he gives about the person who builds his house on the rock and the one who builds it on the sand, one thing I want y'all to look at when you go back and read, I think it's in Matthew 7, they both go through the same situation in life, same storm, same wind, same blowing of the wind, same house crashing. They went through the same thing, but they were affected very differently because one depended on the word, the rock, and the other built on the sand. What are you depending on? Yourself, sand, or him, the rock? Y'all get this? I can assure you, by sight, a lot of it doesn't look like it works. That's why you have to just trust him. Now, the combination of staying in Christ and keeping the word gives access to you. I mean, gives access to prayers answered, believe it or not. Now, I know a lot of us saying, man, I've been praying to God, and I'm not seeing results. Why? Well, here's an answer. This is part of, we did a study called Prayers Answered. And what the study shows is there are many things out there that have to be added in order for my prayers to be answered. Most Christians only know that, believe you receive, and you receive whatever you ask, right? That's the only one they know. So I'm believing that I'm receiving, and we stop there. Instead of knowing, y'all do know there's a whole bunch of other verses that have to be in place before your prayers are fully answered. This is one. He says in John 15, 7 through 8, if, everybody say if. So if is a choice. When you're a Christian, it doesn't automatically happen. What I'm getting ready to show you, what he's showing you is a choice. If what? You remain in me and my words remain in you. Two things. Now, you got a lot of people that are praying, but they're not being. In other words, I'm not living as a Christian. Every decision I made, my household and stuff, has nothing to do with God. However, I'm going to pray to him because I need this thing to work out. Well, you already blew it. It might, through time and chance, fall into place, but it's not going to fall into place the way it's supposed to fall into place because you're not in him. And his word remains in you. You'll go to do something, and you'll go, he said, I can't. Why? Because you have his word. When you're not convicted, it's usually because you don't have his word. You're living by your own feelings. I don't see anything wrong with that. I still hear Christians say that. I don't see anything wrong with that. I didn't ask what you've seen. I don't want what you've seen. This is why it's so hard to get people to help counsel and people to help support you, because you're going to get their advice. And I think in our experience, we feel, you know, right? We feel qualified to give you a how I feel answer. So I ask people, what is your advice on this? And I'll listen. And it's very disturbing when you hear people give what they think and what they feel. Instead of, well, you know the word says, thank you. Word remains in me, right? Not what you feel, not what you think. He was like, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Oh, we didn't know that part, did we? I was too busy receiving, believing that I received. And then we'll say stuff that's not even in the Bible. Name it, claim it. That's not there. That's not there. We love it. It rhymes. Not there. But you have people that will remember that. But we don't remember. But he said, if I remain in him and if his word remains in me, then whatever I have. How can you hear Christians reciting that? I don't like that one. You see how we work? We work off of our feelings instead of what he says. He said, this is to my Father's glory. Now, what does that mean? If I'm out there calling myself a Christian and I'm not being a Christian and I go pray to him and he gives me what I want, think about this, parents, what did I make him look like? Y'all catch that? In other words, you know, you ever get a parent that says, you do that again, you're not going to get blah, blah, blah. They do it again and they still get blah, blah, blah. Not only do the kids, everybody else look at them and go, yeah, pushover. What kind of parent is that? They would say that about our God. See, we glorify God to be God. Remember, glorifying God means we're showing him who he is. So if he was giving a bunch of spoiled, disobedient, non-following him people everything they asked for, what would that make him? That's why he said, I want those who show themselves to the world. They're going to be like, those are God's people. And he takes care of that. Not, well, everybody says they're God's people is God's people. That's what it means when it says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. I need them first to see you're of me. So then when I give to you, they know it's about me because you represent me, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is a very important part of our walk. This light we shine, the fruit we show, means we're going to be amongst people who are going through the same thing, but we're showing him in it. Right? Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, they were all in that same thing that the rest of the Israelites are in, but they stood out because they kept displaying God. They knew when to say no. They knew when to stand their ground. They knew when to be obedient to the government, and they knew when not. And they did it in a respectful way. When they were getting ready to get killed, okay, kill me. Throw me in the fire or throw me in the lion's den. Do whatever you have to. I'm going to follow God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego even said, you know what? Our God would save us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to follow you. That's one who trusts in him completely, truly trusts in God and God only. Then we have to hear the word of Christ is the only way to supply your faith. Now, I think a lot of people struggled 2020 because your faith wasn't either based on the word or you weren't getting fed faith. If you're not continually staying in the word, now please understand how faith works. It doesn't just mean you're in the word and just reading it. It's a process of receiving it and applying it, receiving it and applying it. That's how it fills you. And in Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So if I just read my Bible, that's one thing. If I'm listening to, and I hate to say it, there's a lot of these, and I listen to them too, and it's disturbing because there's a lot of things online, a lot of things where people are preaching, and they're not preaching the message of Christ. That's what I need you to make sure you're filtering out. They give some decent messages sometimes, but they're not always of the word. Are y'all really checking these? You know, I had some people at work give me some things to listen to, and after I listened to them, one I even reached back out and said, well, you know, he was talking about this, this, and this. They go, yeah, but no, we can't do that. That was their answer. We can't all do it. Why are you now getting rid of the word of God because of this speaker? Do y'all get this? Because you enjoyed that message, right? It says faith comes from hearing what? The message. But watch this. The message has to be through the word of Christ. So if I get any other message, guess what I don't get? Faith. I might get a feel good. I might get some nice notes I can write down. I might get some nice sayings. But I'm lacking faith. My faith goes down because I'm not getting the word. That's why you have to check it. I heard this one message. I would love to share with people. But when I checked it, it was torn apart. And I had to, okay, can't listen to that. I enjoyed it. It was very well done. Guy was a great speaker. Wasn't in the word. He was saying some stuff that, you understand that? I enjoyed it. But man, was it dangerous. When I went back and I did it, I'm just like, wow. You know what I mean? Now, what if I accidentally recommended to some people? They would hear and go, man, I enjoyed that. And next thing you know, I enjoyed that. People don't understand. I've heard a family member even say when they were first introduced and they came into the church and they told them, go listen to Joel Osteen. And I understand that. And I understand where it comes from because he oversimplifies whatever he does. No, he doesn't stand the word. Yes, he's very dangerous. People don't know it because he gives this feel good. Oh, isn't this great message? And that's what people want God to be. Why are people hurting? Because, man, life is not feel good. Wait, somebody died in my life. Wait, I got sick. Wait, my finances aren't going. What's going on? It's not feel good. Because God gives us reality. God gives us him. But we tend to want to hear something. We enjoy it. And that's our answer. I listen to so and such. I enjoy them. Are you checking with the word? You'll hear people say yes. But please, I can't stress this enough. Make sure you're checking it. Because that's how you build your faith. You don't build your faith. Remember, it's a shield which blocks Satan. I don't build it. Guess what gets through? All right? Those flaming arrows will be knocking me out left and right. Why? Because I don't have faith. Also, the word is the true life teaching. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 16 says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. So first of all, he's saying, you know, the teachers are godly. He said, you already checked that. And this was done since from when you were a baby. This teaching was done very little. You still have parents right now that are like kids not hear the word because they think they're not mature enough for it. But we're allowing them to be exposed to everything else. This also includes not just the stuff on television. I know some of us say, well, I don't let them watch television, or I let them watch all these other things. No, what I'm saying is when they go to regular school and they're exposed to their friends, walk down the street and they're exposed to that, they're exposed to you when you're not acting like a Christian. They're exposed to themselves. So they're getting all of this stuff. And then finally, when you want to give them God, they're like, what is this? Are you serious? Right? You know, have you ever given a baby, when they give them crushed vegetables or whatever, and the baby first eat it and they're kind of chewing and they're not making the faces that I think I would make. I remember I tasted one time with one of my grandkids. It was horrible, but they don't know what horrible is, right? You give them peas, crushed peas or whatever, and they're just eating away and they're eating. In fact, there was one that they did that with, and somebody gave them ice cream and the baby's face, what is this? Whoa, wait a minute. Until they got accustomed to it. It was like, I want more of that. And then when you give them the peas, it's like, what is this? Why? Because we train them to be that way. Then when we're wanting to give them something real, they're like, what is this? If I don't raise my child up in the Lord, when it's time to give them the Lord, what is this? This doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit my friends. It doesn't fit what I want to be. Infancy. This word should have been starting from the beginning. It should be lived in my household, done in everything that I do. Every aspect of every part of my life should display God. And a lot of us, how do we do that? The Bible shows us, but we still struggle with it. It says, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Did y'all see that pattern? So the Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. In other words, while I'm saved, I know exactly what to do while I'm saved. I'm able to answer questions while I'm saved. Why? I can live a saved life in everything that I do through faith. That means trusting in Christ Jesus. Process. See how that works? This is what the word's supposed to do. Start it from the beginning. Doesn't just mean reading scripture, Adam. Doesn't mean just having Bible study. It means you live it. They see the rules and what you do are based on God. Don't be impressed, men, because you have rules in your house. If your rules are not based on God, it's just a bunch of rules. Meaningless. Do y'all get this? But when they see the man being led by Christ, that's huge. Huge. The only right spiritual food, given the right way, without anything added, will provide eternal benefits. That's it. Only the right spiritual food, given the right way, without anything added, will provide eternal benefits. 1 Timothy 4:6-9 says, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished in on the words of faith. Y'all get this? Okay, so when you constantly point out what the word is saying, and you keep pointing that out, he's saying, and of sound doctrine. Everybody say sound doctrine. Please don't be one of those Christians because they threw a scripture that now you're convinced. Y'all get that? They told me this whole entire thing. They threw a scripture. That's my answer. Sound means make sure it's in complete agreement with the word of God. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? Remember, I just said a lot of us here to receive it, believe it. That is in the word. Absolutely. But got to get the rest of it because there's a verse that says you won't receive because your motives are wrong. But wait a minute, I was believing I was going to receive it. I'm confused. No, sound doctrine means these all go together. I'm receiving, I'm believing it. While my motives are right, it's within his will. I remain in him. His word remains. Y'all see how this works? All of these come together. Now, I'm going to get it. Not just, I just took one of those. Why isn't it working, God? Because you only took one. You need the whole entire package for it to work. He says, which you have been following. He says, verse 7, but have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. Some versions say old wives' tales. And the reason why they call it that, especially back in those times, they were the ones who would tell stories to keep themselves amused. Y'all get this? They were like, they would tell stories. Unfortunately, we got caught up in stories. You'll get some Christians say, let me tell you what happened. You're like, hey, man, you never seen it happen. You're hearing their stories, and they're usually lies. And you're saying amen to their lies. And saying, on the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. I'm hearing churches and other ones give out stories that are not in line with God. And I don't care what they say. We made more. We're doing more. This is happening more. If it's not in line with God, there is a problem. Y'all give this? That's the answer. How do you know? It is a problem. It's not fitting what God is saying. So this thing you're saying is happening is not. Y'all get this? Please know what that means. Please understand. I have to discipline myself for it, or I'll get caught up in the hype. You'll hear people, Christians, saying, hey, I started doing this, and it works. And if you're not disciplined, you'll go, oh, well, I'm going to do that too. Now you're all excited, and you never really checked it. Discipline is, huh? Explain that to me some more. Can I understand this some more? Where's this at in God? He says, discipline yourself for the purpose of what? Godliness. For boldly discipline is only of little profit. Bodily discipline is only of little profit. That's what it means. Physical training is of little, you know, it does do some things that look like they benefit, but it's of little profit. It says, but godliness is profitable for all things. Think about that. So if I live for the flesh, I will see some benefits. But it's only when I live for God that I will see all benefit. In fact, when I live for God, it says, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. There are some people that are living to be comfortable now, right? And they're working. It's going to be comfortable now, but the rest of eternity, you don't know what discomfort is. Do y'all get this? They're living for what I want now. Hopefully, If it's 120 years, it was worth it. Because then now you have an eternity of. But now I live for godliness. This discomfort now is not worth what I'm about to get. Do y'all get this? But only the word let me know that. This is not me trying to convince you. The word even says that you may have to go through some struggles for a little while, but this is only in place. But when you see what you're going to get, man. Do y'all get this? So this word lets us know this, and we live for this, and we live for that purpose and that discipline. We don't get caught up with these stories and caught up with things that sound good. We follow what he says and what he says only. So then we get to the feeder, the feeding and the feeder. That's me. Okay. How I'm feeding and what you're getting. And this is where the checking has to come into play. This is where you'll know. And all of you would know as you go through this, okay, I'll know when I'm getting fed bad food. And when the feeder is not feeding like he's supposed to. So the Bible, the only chosen food, is directly from God. Okay, so you'll understand this is why do I give so much scripture? Why do I do this? Because I want to make sure I'm not giving me. It's very easy for me to give you one scripture and then go on this rant. And some of it may sound like it comes from the Bible, and some of it may sound like it comes from me. I hear people give rants all the time. They sound good. And as you sort through it, you're like, that's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. That's not the Bible. And there's a problem. But you're so caught up in their rant because they gave you one scripture. Now you're confused. He says in 2 Peter 1, 20 to 21, he says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. Why is that so important? Have you ever heard ministers get up there and go, and Peter wrote, Paul wrote. I heard one minister even sit there and go, you know, Paul was a smart man. And he must have looked at this and said, wow, I'm going to write this. He made it all like it was all Paul. Wow, it's only the Spirit going, here, I'm going to give you the answer. And Paul wrote it down. That's how it works. Only credit is Paul was an instrument. That's why I want no credit. I want you to say, pastor knows the word. And he's giving, no. He allowed himself that God can use an instrument. That's all we are, none more. It was like, we must understand no prophecy came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. This book was never meant to build man the way man wants to be. It says, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, what makes us instruments is as we were carried along. The Holy Spirit will never force us. Y'all get this? The people that get messed up are the ones that as he's carrying us along, you stop and you do one of these, you know how somebody's pulling you, you're like, well, wait a minute. And this is what happens. So as a pastor, if I'm reading this word and I go, oh, I struggle with this word, so I'm not going to preach that to you. Now I'm in trouble. You're in trouble. This is why I tell you, please check me. Check every teacher that's out there. Thoroughly check. Don't do it on the surface. Thoroughly check. And when you start seeing flaws, there's a problem, major problem, because it was never built on man. And when you start hearing them go, I know the word says this, but I heard a minister who was talking about what the word said on salvation. And his words were, you know what? We all be going to hell if this was true. That was his answer. It was on the verse in Matthew 6 where it ended it. If you do not forgive men, God will not forgive you. Remember that verse? So then he said, so there are different forms of forgiveness. And he put this whole list out and people got that list and they're listening to it. And my first question was, where's that list in the Bible? Instead of, so if I don't forgive, I'm not forgiven. Simply put, yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. I'm going to say it again. If that means going to hell, hold your grudge. Do y'all get this? We water down the word to fit us. Instead of allowing ourselves to fit him. Y'all get this? Stop molding God around you. You need to mold yourself to God. And we can do it. Why? Because we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Stop trying to make him fit you. Men spoke as God from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The feeding must be done with the complete Bible. Titus 2:1. And I would start any teaching, and everybody should start this. Anytime you go to a church, you come here, read this, where he says, simply put, Titus 2:1, you must, there we say must, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine, not a scripture, not some traditions. No, sound doctrine. It better be solidly in the word. Not some word that you enjoy hearing. It better be solidly to where when you go through the word, you're like, yep, that's there, and it's completely there, and I can't see anything that goes against it. You make sure this part of the word's in it. That means, yeah, you have to do some studying. You have to check on that topic. Y'all get this? One of the reasons why I do topical teaching, and this doesn't mean it's the only teaching, is to try to give you soundness. You understand? If I were to just pick a scripture and read it to you, you'll get part of it, right? But you didn't know what to say in James about that same topic. And if you ran out of here with that, you're only getting half the story. And that could put you in danger. What I'm trying to give you is all of it pertaining to that topic. So you'll get soundness, because the teaching must be with sound doctrine. Finally, these last two things. The structure of the church service was designed by God with a divine purpose. I always told people this verse right here should be the main requirements of any church you go to. Everything else, secondary, right? I like the seating, like the choir, like the food, like the people, they got children. All this stuff sounds good, secondary. It has to have this or it shouldn't pass. He shows in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. First of all, they understand the ministry. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Now, why does he say that? Why does he say it was he? First of all, he's the one who gave them, so man didn't make them up. So when you start hearing man make up these titles and these positions, then we know there's a problem. When man starts adding new positions and new titles, problem. So when it says he gave them, then we need to go to the word to say, okay, what are each of these positions? This is why when people call themselves apostle today, they're kind of missing the point. The Bible shows that the apostles laid the foundation. You understand that? The foundation doesn't need to be laid anymore. Y'all get that? You go through the word, you'll see this. The apostles laid the foundation. So for real, no, there's really no more apostles now. Okay, they laid the foundation. There may be some prophets, and prophets are what built the New Testament. Y'all get this? Because prophets give you what God says pertaining to revelation. Not just future telling, things that are coming. The whole New Testament told us how it's supposed to be. And that's how the people in the Old Testament should have known it was Christ. Because of the prophets. The prophets said, I'm going to tell you about this person coming. I'm going to tell you every aspect. And if they would have used sound doctrine, which people who weren't Israelites did, they were like, wait, that's Jesus. Everybody else was, no, he's going to be a warrior. This can't be him. What is the matter with you? Instead of realizing, wait a minute, everything the prophet said, this is happening. But you still see Christians today going, I don't know. Or is the end time happening? Is something going to happen? I saw the moon turn red. And you'll watch these ones come out and make up weird things about the moon and sun. And that stuff's in the Bible, but we don't know what it means. So we allow to follow these people. The world should have ended 20 times now. There's one guy who goes around, he puts out these books, and I think 2019, we were supposed to have this huge disaster, which didn't happen, but he's probably taking claim for 2020 and calling it the disaster, which he didn't say was going to happen, and people are still buying his books, and we're so confused, and because you're following these people instead of following the word. There's nothing wrong with listening to them, that's interesting, but when you start going, I'm going to sell all my goods, because I'm going to go, because the world's going to end next week. See, my wife, she'll buy some of that stuff if you give it away for cheap, okay? So, you know, after next week, we're going to need it. So, you understand, be careful with all that stuff. He's the one who first made the leadership. He put the leadership out there. And then he says, to do what? Here's what the church's purpose is. And if you're not getting this purpose, you need to leave that church. To do what? Prepare God's people for works of service. Did y'all catch a couple of things in there? It's a preparation, so that means you're giving you stuff to do something, but not just you as an individual, you as a group. Now, in no way am I saying, don't invite your friends to church. I'm not saying. What I'm saying is, some people's ministry is, you need to come to my church. And that's where it ends, right? Isn't that? And then they'll come in, they're confused. Why are they confused? Because it wasn't for them. It's for you. so you can minister to them. Y'all catch how that works? Remember, see, it's to prepare who? God's people. Why? Because his word is spiritually discerned. So you'll get it. You'll minister to them. And all of a sudden you hear them go, can I come to church with you? Ah, absolutely. Because something now is calling. Y'all see how that works? We think all I'm going to do is invite them to church, and they'll come to church, and they'll give them some tapes, and they'll listen to this. And they're listening to it, and they're going, I don't know what this is saying. Why? Because the church's purpose is to prepare you, not as an individual, but as a body. Prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Why do we have small groups? Why do we get together? So, because it's not just an individual thing. It's some of you are going to learn one thing stronger than the other. So when you get together in groups, you ask questions and you feed off of each other and you fellowship and you encourage. All this stuff is so that the body may be built up. Y'all catch that? May be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. Y'all see how this process works? In the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. This is a process for everybody. This is a process that we're trying to feed. This is why I may see one or two that are growing and then a whole bunch that are not. I have to restructure it. I have to go, okay, we got to do something else. I may have to give more milk. And then I'm telling those who are mature, what are you doing to help those who are not? Those who are not maturing, come on, y'all, you got to mature. And this is a process that happened because this is until we all. So what are you doing to help those that are not maturing? And for those of you who are not maturing, what are you doing to mature? Because we got to get there together until we all reach unity in faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Because remember, it's not until you become mature that you can get solid food. Didn't we read that in the beginning? So if you don't mature, you won't get solid food. You don't get solid food. You're not going to know the difference between evil and good. You're going to be sitting there as babies. Take a baby, put them outside and say, you got to live for yourself. You know that baby's doomed. We can read story about a pack of wolves. Maybe you think some squirrels are going to come and save. I'm sorry. It's not going to work. I think you all know that baby's doomed. You understand that. Same thing with us. Right now, we're walking in the world. I'm Christian. Why is this happening to me? We're depressed. We're frustrated. We're struggling. We're crashing. We're burning. We're not mature. This is a process. Until we reach unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? I'm going to give you that answer. We are called the what of Christ? The body. But we are just the what? Part. Got that? So if I'm a part, you're a part, we got to make the full. So that means I got to play my part, you got to play your part. I can be the strongest hand that's ever been, but I'm worthless if the arm is not working. And the elbow has to do its thing, right? And even the hand, I'm just a hand, but there's fingers on there that they got to make sure they react the same. Y'all see where I'm going with this? I can be the strongest hand, but I'm worthless without you. And you're worthless without me in Christ. Not we buddy up together in each other. That's still a worthless body. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that we form a body that forms Christ. That's the process. And finally, two elements needed in the feeder's life is how they live and the instruction they live by. Okay, I'm going to leave you with these two things. The Bible's leaving you with these two things for you to study until next week or until our studying or questions and stuff. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, watch your life and doctrine closely. That's the first part. Two things, your life, how you're living, and your doctrine. So what does that mean? So what is your life and what do you live by? Right? Some of us just go through life. We've always done it this way. How many of you have that? I've always done it this way. Question being, and this is a good thing to have, sit down and say, okay, God's going to question you about every aspect of your life. Every aspect. How are you going to answer him? Every aspect. God, your word says, this is why I'm doing. God, your word says this. That's a simple process. If we follow that. He's like, if you watch them closely and realize the doctrine I have is just God's words, nothing else added to it, not some tradition I got from my family, not something I've done because everybody else does it, not some cultural thing that everybody does in the place we live in. No. It's going to be fully based on his word. He's like, persevere in them. So that means once I get it right, right? So once I'm living in this word, and that's how my life is, continue to do that. You're going to go through things that are going to bring question, but you continue to do. You don't know how many people that'll say, well, I tried and it didn't work, so I quit. Then you didn't try because you were looking for outcome. Am I right? See, trusting him means I'm going to keep doing it. That's what perseverance is. That's what endurance is. If you're looking for results, stop now. Just go do your thing because you don't get it. But those who get it are going to keep doing it. You go back to God and go, God, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time, but you're going to keep doing it. Y'all remember Karate Kid? I don't care which movie you've seen. It's the same aspect. He kept making him do the same thing over and over again. And then, of course, in the end, he can beat up everybody. But I don't think it works that way. But in God's way, it does. You're either waxing on or waxing off, or, you know, but you're painting or whatever, and you have no idea what you're doing, but you're doing what he said. And you don't go, I came here to learn how to do karate. I'm leaving. Even though that's what some do. I tried this, and I don't know what he was doing. He had me doing his work. I'm leaving. Instead of, he kept telling me to do this. I struggle with it, but I'm going to keep doing it. His word kept telling me to love my enemies, and they keep getting over on me. I'm going to keep loving them. It tells me, you know, husband's what I'm supposed to be. It doesn't seem to work in my relationship, but I'm going to keep loving. Y'all get this? I'm going to keep doing what he says, period. Not for outcome, but because he said so. He says, if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. That's not just talking to me as a teacher. That's talking to you as other people that are watching you. If you're a wishy-washy Christian, you're going to have wishy-washy hearers. They're going to like, well, he call himself a Christian, but I saw him over there doing worse than I do. So is it okay to do worse than I do? People are watching every aspect of your life. We represent Christ. He put you in the position for a purpose to be a light. Let's receive this word. Let us understand. Let us grow. Think about those elements. And we'll pray. Amen. All right. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we thank you once again, dear God, for your word. We thank you so much for this opportunity for us to grow in this spirituality that you offer and provide to us, dear Lord. We want to walk in your ways at all times, making sure we represent you. We understand the many distractions in the world, and we are susceptible for that to happen to us, dear God, but we want to make sure we're focused on you. Help us to lock our eyes on your son, dear Lord, and to use him as our author and perfecter of what we do in life, of the faith that we're supposed to live by. Help us to encourage each other with your word and your word only being led by your spirit. As we leave out of here this week, dear Lord, let us be a blessing to others as we come in contact with. Let us not allow the frustrations to frustrate us. But let us keep living to glorify you in all that we do. Let us walk in your ways at all times, knowing that we are doing it for the good, and we know that it's working for our good. We love you, and we want to make sure we're worshiping and obeying you in all things, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen. Thank you all.